Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
It's another Mesereau Monday, our third and final podcast. Amit Desai, this has been fun, my friend.
Thank you. I'm having a really good time. And great view, too. And I know your listeners can't see it, but
we can paint a picture, though. We're along the river. We're 18 floors up where the river meets the lake. We're looking to the northwest right now. Okay, that's too much. We looked under the hood of our 401ks or just general investments in the first episode. We talked about equities. Then we talked about valuation, how to identify companies that maybe are you want to buy stock in. The third thing I wanted to ask you about was bonds, because a lot of our listeners are at an age where they've already retired or they're nearing retirement, and they thought, okay, I've got this much more conservative portfolio now. So in 2021, when everyone else was making, I don't know, 25, 30%, they weren't. But they were like, okay, I have a conservative portfolio.
Yeah.
But then in 2022, they lost like everybody else.
Yeah.
And they thought, what the heck happened? I own bonds. Bonds are safe. What happened?
You know, it's a long story, and I'll try to make it short. You know, we've kind of gone through what really is a 40-year period of interest rates just getting lower and lower and lower. And as a general rule of thumb for bond prices, when interest rates go down, bond prices go up, and when interest rates go up, bond prices go down.
Okay.
In 2022. I think we all, you know, are pretty acutely aware that interest rates went up very sharply, and that meant that bond prices came down.
Let's back up a little bit. Can you explain what a bond is?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that.
Thank you.
So when you buy a bond, you're effectively lending money to an entity. So when you buy a stock, you own a piece of that company, or you know, usually a company. When you're lending money, whether it's to a government entity or a corporation, you're doing just that. You're lending money, and you expect to get your money back at the end of the term of the loan, plus some interest along the way.
So there's corporate really bonds and government bonds?
There are lots of types of bonds. I think for simplicity's sake,
yes.
we can call it government-related bonds and corporate bonds.
Okay, and government-related can be like municipal, like city-based.
Exactly.
They can be the whole country through the treasury. Okay, okay. So when I have a 401k, maybe it's a target date fund, or I have an IRA, whatever it is, and I've shifted to more bonds, I look at my percentage, and the percentage that I own that is bonds are up. I think a lot of people think, oh, I own the actual bond pieces of paper that maybe have been bought and like put into this account. And when those mature, I'm going to make money on it no matter what. So how did I lose money?
Sure.
Okay, so let's dive into that.
Yeah. So if you buy, let's just say a treasury bond, a 10-year treasury bond. Now, so you're lending money to the government for 10 years. You know, the interest rate that you're going to earn on that bond is dictated by the market. So right now, you know, 10-year treasuries are around like 4%. So that's about what you're going to earn
every year
for 10 years.
Right.
You know, and what you do with that money can either allow it to compound or, you know, you can reinvest or not. But for simplicity's sake, you know, 4% coupon. If you own that bond and you hold it to maturity, and let's just assume, which I think is a pretty safe assumption, that the U.S. government is not going to default on its loans. That would be really bad and, you know, very, very highly unlikely. I don't want to say never.
I know, especially for the last couple of years, but okay.
Right, yeah.
Let's say we're strong. Okay.
So, after 10 years, you will get your money back, right? The government will pay you back. You're going to have earned that, you know, we use 4% as an example, that 4% coupon annually along the way. However, you know, in the short term, When interest rates go up,
the Fed raises the rates. They're trying to slow down inflation a little bit, make rates, cash flow not quite as flowy.
Right. So let's just say, you know, the Fed raised rates. So we're creating a hypothetical situation. Let's say today we're at 4%, 5%. The Fed raised rates to 7%. You own a bond that's only paying 4%. So you say, hey, well, I want to earn the 7% that my neighbor's earning. So you're going to sell that bond and buy the 7% bond. And that's the sort of market mechanism that causes bond prices to go down when interest rates go up.
Is it because that 4% bond is less attractive now?
Right.
Its demand goes down, supply goes up, so price goes down.
Right. Yeah. So the market will effectively work until in an efficient manner to, you know, move the price down so that it's a little bit more comparable. Now, again, if you were to sell that bond after it already dropped because interest rates went up, you would lock in that loss.
Okay.
If you held your bond to maturity, you don't lose money. It's a sort of a mark to market. So it's it's a paper loss in the short term, but if you wait through the maturity of that bond, you will get your money back again, assuming that the government pays you back.
So when it says bonds, let's say 50% of my portfolio is bonds, do I own those bonds, or is that I own a fund that trades and sells bonds and I, like, because I'm going to withdraw, I can withdraw at any time, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm already retired, I'm not necessarily waiting to maturity. Am I relying on the buying and the selling of bonds to price what that 50% of my total portfolio is?
So there are a few different ways that you can approach it. In a mutual fund, if you were to, you know, buy a bond mutual fund, that manager of that fund would trade the bonds for you, and it would sort of maintain a specific sort of goal. So if you bought a short-term bond fund, it may only buy bond, you know, that fund may only purchase and invest in bonds that are up to 3 years of maturity. Mm-hmm. If you're buying an intermediate term bond fund, they may buy bonds that are trading between 5 and 8 years of maturity. It just sort of depends on the fund. So that's sort of one way. And then the manager can kind of manage that process. They have flexibility to buy stuff that's expensive or sell stuff that's expensive, mm-hmm. buy stuff that's cheap, rotate the, you know, within the market based on where the opportunity is. You know, versus individual bonds that you sort of, you know, you
put in a drawer.
Yeah, you kind of put it in a drawer and put it away. So there are pros and cons to both approaches. Both are, you know, effective in helping investors achieve their goals. But there's some nuances that you can kind of work through to understand, like, what's more appropriate for you. Do you want to buy individual bonds or do you want to buy a fund and kind of get that exposure?
Okay. So when people say, oh, I lost 22% of my 401ks last year, mm-hmm. and a lot of it was in bonds, it's because they most likely had the latter of the two, right? They owned bond mutual funds that the prices went down.
Well, you know,
I'm just trying to, like, grasp it.
Yeah, so technically, if you owned an individual bond, you may see some declines as well. But again, you don't really realize that loss. It's just a paper loss until you actually do something about
it. The price of that bond at that day went down 20%.
Correct. You know, 20%. So if you sold it at that low price, then yeah, you would lock in your loss.
I see what you're saying.
But again, if you held it to maturity, you would expect to earn all your capital back. And it's sort of similar in a fund too. So if you bought a 3-year fund, this is getting a little bit nuanced, but if you bought a bond fund that invests in 3-year bonds, for example, you know, if I as an investor have a 3-year horizon, I'm probably going to be okay. But that has to do with the asset allocation and making sure that your portfolio really matches your needs. And that's a good thing about bonds, is that you can kind of time the maturities of your bond to what your needs are. So if you know, if you know you're going to need some capital to buy a second home in 10 years, you could buy a 10-year bond, right, and then you'd have that money back.
Or even shorter term. I mean, if you have extra money that you could do, I mean, T-bills, treasury bills are 3 months, you know, something like that, to at least earn a little something, but know that you're going to get it back. Okay.
So they can be a really effective planning tool.
Still, you feel good about them, even though,
you know, one of the benefits of rates, you know, we had a rough year last year with bonds and rates went up and bond prices went down. But now if you look at the environment, we're earning income on bonds for the first time in many
100%.
Years. You know, we were pretty much close to 0% interest rates for a very long time. It's sort of unheard of that this past 10-year period that we went through. So we're getting back to normal now. And, you know, you're not having to take as much risk to generate a return, which is really great for retirees.
So we had to take some medicine last year, but now it's paying off.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for our Mesero Monday series this week. Samit, it was good to meet you, my friend.
Great meeting you, too. Thank you for
having
me.
Three great podcasts. You go to WGNradio.com for all of them. Mesero.com for more. MESIROW 1-877-MESERO. And we'll drop another pod on you next week.